Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Welcome back to Nerdcore Podcast, episode 235. And as always, it is the review of the week for our wonderful theme of Horror Film Month. And my guests are probably thinking, why did you play the music? Well, I'm lazy and I don't want to edit it in. So 235, we're here and we're ready to do this week's, which is Leia's pick, which is Jennifer's Body. How are you doing today, Leia?
Fantastic.
And I'm here with Brad as well.
Hiya, everybody. Welcome to the show. And we get to talk about a Megan Fox movie.
And Aiden is here.
I am also here, yeah.
Against my will.
I mean, that'll be next week.
Could you say you could, could you say you came on the show? Oh, what? Damn it, I can't pull up the fucking soundbite. Damn it.
Yeah,
you didn't fuck that up. You didn't fuck that up.
Yeah, well. Oh, well. Yeah. Aiden, whether you want to complain about it or not, bro, you're here, okay? You're going to have to be here. Next week, and then December, you fucking asshole, you're going to have to be here.
Oh, December is going to be fun.
But... Oh, yeah. I think Brad's going to be the one who's going to be like, what the fuck am I watching?
Oh, that'll be really fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Is there more dick pics?
There probably is. Russian dick pics. Probably full bush.
Yeah, full throttle nudity.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite.
I haven't seen any of them, so I can very well hate them also, but like I just want to try it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, either way, today is a review of Jennifer's Body, Leia's pick. Next week we'll be doing Hereditary, and then for the Patreon supporters, we will have The Conjuring. And we will have a video up about with my reactions watching that movie, which will probably be all screams. And we'll probably get some sound bites out of that video, right? Because it's going to be mostly me screaming.
Yay!
Oh, God. Whatever. I don't want to do this, but you know what? I have a devotion to content, and I make content for you all. So, without further ado, unless you guys have anything interesting that's happened as of the last 7 days since we last talked?
Not really.
My cat went to the ophthalmologist today, so that's cool. I guess.
I
love cat news.
Big fan of cats.
Alright, well, you guys already know the drill. What's it called? Leia will introduce the film, and after she will give a 5-second spoiler warning, and then it will go in effect when you hear the... The hell? Didn't play?
No. When you hear the awkward pause.
No, when you hear
the awkward
silence. Alright, now here we go. When you hear the that means the spoiler warning is in effect, okay? So
horrifying.
Interesting.
By anybody who knows anything about audio, I did not have my fader up, so yeah, that was my bad, but don't worry about it. Let's just act like I had it up, okay? So I believe you have whatever, Brad. Yeah, that's what she said. Okay. Yeah.
No, I was laughing at Aiden.
Oh no, I was just like I pulled up the movie on Amazon Prime so I could like skim through it on my other monitor while we like talk, and then the first frame I went to was just like Megan Fox's titties when she was trying to kill that one guy. At the
fuck yeah.
I was just like, oh, that's an interesting first one to click to.
That's awesome, man.
I mean, if you're gonna click a first one, that's it.
I mean, that I'll just leave it there.
All right, Ms. Leia. Without further ado, I believe you actually have an actual introduction for this movie.
Yeah, because I'm not lazy and I don't read everything on Wikipedia.
Do you want this to be the last time you're on the show? Because we can make it the last day you're on the show.
What?
Do you want to make this the last day you're on the show? Because we can make it that.
Oh, okay. Well,
I vote no for that.
Yay.
I vote yes.
All right, let's just go. Let's go ahead and do this. Let's go ahead and do this.
Okay, here we go. Jennifer's Body is a 2009 horror dark comedy written by Diablo Cody, who wrote Juno, and it's also directed by Karen Kusama. The film takes place in Devil's Kettle, where teenage Jennifer, played by Megan Fox, is sacrificed by the shitty indie band Low Shoulder looking to make it big. But what they don't know is Jennifer is an impure sacrifice because she isn't even a backdoor virgin. So she becomes possessed by a flesh-hungry demon and starts eating her male classmates while her best friend Needy, played by Amanda Seyfried, is what is going on and tries to stop her. Jennifer's body explores the complex relationship between best friends, female empowerment, and most importantly, how satisfying eviscerating shitty men can be. And although it was a box office flop, thanks to a really bad marketing team that used Megan Fox's sex appeal to market the movie to horny teenage boys, the film has recently began to get the attention it actually deserved 10 years ago and is now becoming a cult classic.
All right. So, your spoiler warning is in effect in a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Alright, cool.
Can we end that?
That's our spoiler warning noise now. Okay?
That's horrifying.
Alright, let's go ahead and...
This is why I drink.
Yeah. That's why I don't drink. All right, let's go ahead and get into this. Leia, you are the one who chose this film. You should be the one to give your initial thoughts on this movie.
Okay, well, it's one of my favorite horror movies. I don't know. Most of my favorite movies are horror movies, though, so I have, like, 30 top favorite horror movies, so I guess it's, like, not that special. But I still really love it. I actually didn't watch it when it first came out, and it was because of, like, the weird marketing where, like, you know, it was aimed at those horny boys. They even wanted to, like, make Megan Fox do some sort of, like, go on some porn site or something to advertise the movie, which did not go down. But I was just like, whatever, this seems like a weird movie to watch. But when I finally watched it, I was like, damn, should have watched this shit sooner because it's super good. Because I instantly love, like, any movie where women just, like, disembowel men. It's great.
Like,
it's amazing.
Like teeth.
Hell yeah. Yes.
No, I have actual issues with teeth now because I was like, I wrote like a paper on it in college because I was like, oh, vagina dentata, super cool. But yeah, no, it's not as feminist as you would think. Actually, like, fully digging into teeth, but we're not here to talk about teeth. So, moving on, Jennifer's body. I think one of my favorite things about it is, like, everything is, like, very highly quotable. Like, you definitely get, like, the quirky dialogue that you got in, like, Juno. So there's, like, just really funny shit.
You're like, lime green jello.
Yeah. My favorite is, like, after, you know, Megan...
Damn,
Jesus.
Aiden.
Damn.
What?
Damn, dude. Oh.
Yeah.
Shout out McGinnis Boulevard.
But my favorite line is after, like, Megan Fox gets, like, gored with, like, that pool net, and she's just like, got a tampon? It seems like you're plugging. I'm like, nice. Nice. Mm-hmm. But, I think my actual favorite thing about this movie is, like, all the homoerotic subtext, because, like, I know a lot of people were salty, like, when it first came out, when they're all like, oh, like, that kiss came out of nowhere, and it's like, no, it didn't.
No,
like,
you
take
no,
off,
not really, no.
Take off no, those hetero really lenses. I know, like, I don't.
Are you serious, guys?
Like,
we were kind of waiting for that.
Like, there was, like, come on, man. I was reading that shit, like, they were going to kiss every now, any moment now.
Right? Yeah, but, like, tons of people miss it. I remember, like, when I was in high school, which is when the movie came out, I was, like, a freshman in high school, like, people were complaining about the kiss, and I was, like, secretly, I only really wanted to go watch it for that kiss, because, like, I had, like, a little gay crush on Megan Fox, even though, like, I still didn't admit to myself that I was attracted to girls, but I was like, ooh, Megan Fox, gotta go check that out.
She's such a great actress, yeah. Man. She's got a great filmography. I'm gonna go check it out for that, you know?
Honestly, everyone's attracted to Megan Fox.
Any of you guys watch the unrated version, or just the normal one?
I didn't even know there was an unrated version.
Normal one.
There's like a 5-minute longer unrated one, but you can't rent it. You should buy it.
What does it have?
Yeah, probably just a couple titties.
Oh, damn.
Maybe.
Who's gonna take one for the team here?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to look.
Who wants to pony up $15 to go find out?
Well,
I mean, I did. I bought it on Amazon for like $15. Maybe I did buy that version. Who knows?
We'll find out.
The version I saw didn't have any full titties or anything.
Right. Well, Leia, look for it in the main menu stuff. So
looks like it's a 1 out of 10.
All right. Oh, wow. God. No titties? Well, damn okay, it. It's well, got a 0 now.
I'm going to let you guys talk about it now because I love this movie a lot. So I could like sit here and talk about it for like ever. But let's hear what you guys think.
All right. Who wants to go next? Aiden, Brad?
I can go.
Okay, Brad, you can go.
Brad. All right. I think this was our best movie choice so far for the month.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Brad.
First off, the dude from Scott Pilgrim is in this. Chris Pratt is in this. J.K. Simmons is in this. with the worst wig other than the one at the end of Venom.
God.
And then Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried.
I forgot Amy Sedaris. Amy Sedaris is in it, and she's important.
Yes. What? Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Anyways, the cast is stacked. The writing is great. I forgot how good this movie was, because I watched it when it first came out, and I totally spaced it. And I rewatched it again, and I'm like, why did this movie not get more critical acclaim? This is like an amazing horror film. And I think, like you said, Leah, it's the marketing. The marketing was total shit.
It really was.
It's a damn shame what bad marketing can do to a movie. And it's a damn shame. Aiden, go next.
I thought it was good. ? I feel like it was a little bit cheesy at some points.
Mm-hmm.
But also that's just high schoolers, I guess, and just being little pieces of shit. So I don't like it necessarily for like that reason, I guess, but I do think that the color in it is really interesting, especially the last scene when it just gets really fucking like blue and green.
Yeah.
Especially like the pool sequence is fucking
That's because they were nervous.
I mean, yeah, that, but also just the extra way they like lit that and then colored the extra little
and I love how zesty, the
dirty tones out of that.
Yeah, love how the fire contrasts on Needy's face. By the way,
what?
When the fire explodes and shit, the way that contrasts on Needy's face.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, gotta say that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Also, it's colored by the same person who did Blade Runner, which is interesting.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
But the guy who shot it hasn't done a lot of shit except for that new show, Mrs. Maisel, which is interesting.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I've heard really good things about that show.
Yeah, that's the only thing I could recognize off of that dude's filmography.
Yeah.
But the color, that man slapped.
Yeah. By the way, Aiden, congratulations on doing the color for Dawat.
Oh, yeah. I haven't started that yet, but that'll be fun.
Yeah, I know. But they told me this weekend because I did the interview. She's like, oh, yeah, Aiden's doing the color. He's doing the coloring for that. I was like, oh, shit, really? That's fucking awesome. So good job.
Yeah,
on
I did
that,
it
man.
For their teaser, but the feature, I think they're not quite wrapped on the editing yet.
All right. Well, either way, good job on that, man.
Or not feature, but whatever. Short.
Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, good job.
Sir, thank you, sir.
Thank you, kind sir. Yes. All right. So, and he's also done an episode of Westworld. The what's it called? The cinematographer.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. He did an episode of Mad Men.
This movie was pretty beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to say that for sure.
It's so hot.
Felt like some of the wides got almost too wide in certain points, but I feel like, I guess, one of them that I didn't like initially was made sense at the end.
Mm-hmm. Also, the Dutch angles.
It was like when they first threw her into that like jail cell in the prison. I was like, that's a little too wide, but I guess it was showing how the verticality of it to like kind of set up the end a little bit.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, also like the Dutch angles in it too. There's some Dutch angles included in there. And gotta love me those Dutch angles. I love the Dutch angles.
Some shit ton of aperture blades at the end in the prom or party sequence. I was like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Go off. That's just a flex of the cinematographer. He's like, hey, we got like 10 blades in this bitch. Or like.
Yep. Anyway. All right. 12, so actually. Let me go ahead and put my thoughts into this film. So my thoughts, I actually enjoyed this movie. Probably not as much as Leia did, but I also don't, enjoy it like Aiden, where he's like on the border of whether he likes it or not. But I enjoy it. I think it's good. I think that this would be released in 2019 with a better revised script and probably with better marketing. You'd have a movie that makes at least $600 million at the box office, and especially if it were to be distributed by Blumhouse and produced by Blumhouse, I think this would have been a huge hit here in the States. But the fact that
they slapped A24 on it, everyone would go suck its dick.
No, I said Blumhouse, not A24, dumbass. No, I said Blumhouse, you idiot.
I know, I was also just saying A24 could pop it out.
I mean, you could market it kind of like they did Happy Death Day.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking about. Yeah. And, you know, probably like this is a low-budget film, by the way, right? Because I forget that, I don't know if you said that in the introduction here, but...
budget was $16
million. Oh, yeah. Well, how much of that is going to Megan Fox though?
6.8 million.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So this looks like it's a now. If you would have done this now with Blumhouse, it would have been like honestly like about fucking like 6 to 10 million of a budget, and it would have been a huge hit.
Happy Death Day was 4.8 million, so you'd be looking around that.
Yeah. So fucking great. Would have been great. I like a lot of the technical aspects of this movie. The story's pretty cool, too. It's just, what's it called? I think that the script needed a little bit of a revision in there. And also, just, it's kind of cheesy at points, but, you know, it's fine. But it's actually more enjoyable than the last two movies I've seen in this month.
Do you know the point of horror movies, Raul?
Look, like, Brad.
To be cheesy.
Yes, just whatever,
throwing
Brad.
It out there.
Cheesy it is.
Huh?
They're like... That's the whole point of horror movies is the cheesiness.
Yes, and so was the point to Aquaman, Brad, but you didn't like that. So guess what? I can not like cheese too, okay?
Would you like some wine with that?
I don't drink. I don't drink, Brad. Suck my dick, Brad. Also, something about this did not age well, and that was that it was produced by Dune Entertainment and the fuckers at their office with Brett Ratner. That did not age well, but oh well. Leia, you were gonna say something?
I don't remember.
Something about the cheese?
Oh, the cheese! I love the cheese. That's what makes like this movie so great. I think like I love the cheesy fucking dialogue. It kills it.
Yeah. The fucking soundtrack is great.
You can't have high schoolers delivering, like, not cheese shit.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I know. Like, Euphoria does that well, where it's not incredibly cheesy, I guess, but there's really no other.
Yeah. Also, once again, it's just a fucking realization how crazy the 2000s were. They're just throwing around a couple of, like, R-word, and, you know, what does Chris Pratt say? Oh, I'm not going to repeat that. Hold up. I just almost made it myself.
Like about the band members?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, I've never heard that before, but yeah, you pretty much just called them the
Well, yeah, but I mean, horror movies are supposed to make you uncomfortable, so I actually don't have like any issues with any kind of thing like that. Like in horror movies especially, I'm like, throw in a couple of those, I guess. Like I want to be uncomfortable because like regular horror just doesn't scare me. I'm only
Then it kind of makes you okay with those characters dying in a bar fire.
True.
Yeah, true. Exactly. Like I don't know. I don't.
It was
like,
a dick. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like I don't like how a lot of people like I don't know are trying to make stories a little more vanilla and taking that away. Like I feel like we do need like gross ass characters who say terrible shit like that because those people like still exist, so why not just see it in a movie?
Like when they remade Cabin Fever and they took out all of the extra like funny and like borderline offensive shit.
Yeah.
And like the new remake of the one character who was like shooting squirrels because they're gay. was just like the most annoying douchebag of all time, because he's just like
he was just a gamer.
Yeah. He was like, that's not funny.
Which I mean some gamers.
I mean, yeah. There's...
But yeah, I agree. Like, I was actually having this conversation with a friend before I went to go see the Joker this weekend. She's taking like a writing course in grad school. And the professor was like, a lot of these stories that kids are writing these days aren't like pushing anything, you know, they're not pushing boundaries, they're sticking like vanilla. And I see that a lot with like a lot of the criticism for the Joker too. They're like, oh, it's so disturbing.
Yeah,
like stuff like that. But it's not like it doesn't, I don't know.
Well,
I don't think we can like just pick apart the arts and be like, oh, you shouldn't have that in there.
I'm not saying that. Well, first of all, on the Joker side, it is disturbing, but not in the sense where it's dangerous, you know? I meant like, you know, yeah, Chris Pratt's character says those words, right? But I'm talking like, I'm glad that we've kind of evolved where we're not using the R word to call somebody stupid anymore. And even when it comes from your protagonist, huh?
I still see it all the time on the internet.
Yeah, but in movies, it's something different, you know, like whatever, some asshole in real life does it. Like at what point, where can, how much can you like change their way of saying that, you know, like you can try and try and try and to keep doing it. Right. But at least when it comes to film, like, you know, at least we're not seeing that anymore. We kind of learn as society that there are certain words that we shouldn't be saying. And some of them are, you know, the F word, the R word, the N word. And, you know, well, if it doesn't come from a black person, then, yeah, it should not be said in a movie. And, you know, what's it called? It's I get what you're saying. It gives kind of depth to some of these characters. But, like, I just think it's, like, every time I hear these characters, like, even when it's your protagonist, just say, like, that word, it's, like, it makes me cringe. And I'm, like, why? Why? Like, you know.
Well, I mean, same. Like, it's the early 2000s. Like, I cringe when people say it, like, out in the real world, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm just, like... I don't know. I still don't think maybe we should be just taking all of that out of movies.
Well,
still.
At the end of the day, it's the filmmaker's decision, right? You know, it should always be the filmmaker's decision, and it's our right to criticize it as well. So, you know.
Well, yeah, I totally get criticizing it, definitely, but I'm still just like, I don't know. And I am glad, I guess, we've moved away from it too, because it is like offensive and stuff, but I don't know. I'm just so used to that kind of content in horror movies, I guess. Like, yeah. I don't know. They're supposed to push, like, the boundaries and make you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I always try to say this.
I think sometimes the word's needed to make a point, such as in Peanut Butter Falcon. That word was made for a reason. That word was used for a reason.
Yeah.
It was to make everyone uncomfortable and make those people look like assholes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I'm just. At the end of the day, it's the what's it called? It's the filmmaker's decision. They can use it whether they want. It's our decision to what's it called? I'm not saying that they should stop using it. I'm just saying that I'm glad that we've kind of reached the point where it doesn't need to be thrown around just to be thrown around. Like, you know, if you're just putting it in there just to say it, like, like you really should be writing better than that. And it's just like, you know, I say it like this, like. Let's say there's a horror movie and your character has no inch of being any way racist or anything, but he calls a group of Mexicans beaners. What's it called? It makes me uncomfortable. And you've also not shown anything in the character for him or her to be talking that way. So when your protagonist in this movie just kind of like it just throws it around like that, I'm like, okay. All right. So we're doing that. But like I said, it's also different.
Oh, yeah, I definitely see that. Like, I don't want anything out of character either, you know, but high schoolers still throw around the R word like crazy. Like, we were visiting, Aiden and I visited our cousin, and he's 14, and I couldn't get him to stop saying it, no matter how hard I tried. Like, they still do it. So, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Well, not a lot of young people that I meet. You know, back home, but I guess also different types of people, you know, what's it called? You know, I don't know how it works over there for y'all, but I know over here they definitely don't say things like that anymore, but
well, white Americans still do it a lot, so I thought thought it was fitting for the movie that all these like white kids in this tiny ass town were throwing it around, because that's exactly how terrible little white kids are in small towns, because Aiden and I grew up in a small town in Wyoming.
Also,
yes, that's exactly how they were.
That's tame compared to what they were.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, let's go. I can only speak for my community, man. So I know that we.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. I like getting that perspective and everything too.
Yeah, and also as somebody who you know is actually disabled, and that's a term used to demean
the
people with disabilities. It's kind of like
I've worked with like kids with disabilities too, and I hate that word, but I still don't like. I don't know. Yeah. I just try to. I cringe a little and move on when it's in a movie. I'm just like, okay, it's there. Like that character said it. That sucks, but you know,
it's all comes down to context, my friends, and the way that the characters are written and everything. Like I said, you know, I'm not saying to never use it, but yeah, let's go ahead and go back to the movie. I was it really sucks that Megan Fox's career is basically non-existent now. And
it's because she attacked Michael Bay, killed her career.
Yeah, fucking Michael Bay.
Let's face it, Michael Bay deserves to be attacked, though.
Oh yeah, he totally deserved it. Like I'm not saying he did, but yeah, that's not around really.
Yeah, but as we see,
that's unfortunate too that he could have that much power to end her career, even though she was being honest and everybody agreed with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, you know, just to see who has the most power in this position, man. Of course.
Exactly.
The successful white guy. You know? That's the way it works. Sadly, that's the way it works. And I definitely see those feminist undertones in this film. I really like it because of that. I think this movie has a lot of, even for a very cheesy fest, it has a lot of depth to it, especially with those feminist undertones. And yeah, whoever says they didn't see that kiss coming, you're blinder than I am. You're blinder than I am.
For real. I even, like, started writing down every single, like, gay thing that led up to it, because I was like, how did people miss all of this?
I was waiting for that moment.
Those different times nobody was paying attention.
With a revised script,
ADHD.
With a revised script, and if it would have came out today, I really would have wanted to see more of her sexuality be like kind of like explored in this. But yeah, it was 2009. You know, basically, this movie just got fucked over. Real talk, man. This shit got fucked over bad.
Did anybody else feel bad for the Colin kid, though?
Oh, yeah, man.
I felt a little bad for him.
Yeah. He's the only one I felt bad for. Yeah. He's just this kid.
The only person I felt bad for was Ahmed, the Indian exchange student.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Colin, I was like, yeah, whatever.
Fine. The only person of color in this damn movie dies, man.
I know.
Poor Colin, like, he was kind of like just trying to go out and gets killed, just like, and he's just like, oh well, damn it. I was like, that was the only one, because the other jock was an asshole. But yeah,
but then Colin was kind of dumb, because he's like, oh, this isn't her house, and he still goes in.
I mean,
this seems pretty sucked, but I guess it's accurate for like some like 16-year-old who's like thinking he's gonna get his dick sucked. Like you'd walk into any fucking like just broken house. You'd walk into like a fucking butcher shop.
Yeah, I mean,
damn.
Yeah. To get some head, you walk into the.
Yeah, especially if the woman looked like Megan Fox. Yeah, it's like,
she's walking to the Overlook Hotel, bro.
Yeah. There's a couple rats, but like, fuck it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Baby. He was even like scared though, and I loved how like Jennifer just kind of like made fun of him a little for that. She's like, "What? You're supposed to be like dark? It's a rat. It's fucking here anyway."
It was like a solid roast.
Yeah, I know. And then she just rips him apart, and I'm like, nice.
Yeah, I screamed during that part. It got me. I was like,
really?
That whole sequence. It went like,
I don't think like any of this movie is scary.
You don't get
but
it.
But probably just because like, look, I don't know. I'm like, ooh, I could be Jennifer. I could get possessed by a demon and just rip men's hearts out. Yeah. Like, that's so cool.
But you know, you spare us three, right?
What?
You can spare us three, right?
No.
Except for Brad. I mean, except for Aiden.
I just couldn't hear you.
Maybe not Brad. Okay. Yeah.
Will you spare us three?
Oh no, we go.
I don't know.
I think Brad's trying to.
I probably deserve it after that first movie pick.
Absolutely,
so I'm okay with it.
maybe I'll get you, man. But
okay.
We'll see. You guys will just have to be extra nice to me while I make my decision.
I did like how Anita got superpowers at the end there.
Oh, yeah, me too, for sure.
Yeah, that's the part where I say a revised script could really do well to this, especially the whole, like, we never really explained, was Jennifer just, like, super shocked at, like, how well the band was playing and the fact that she was practically falling in love with this dude, or was it just the shock of the place, like, coming down in fire, or what was it? Why was she just so fucking shocked?
I really think it was the shock of the, like, traumatic incident of the fire, because... It looked exactly like shock from that kind of situation, and then he took advantage of her.
Yeah,
and he like pushed the drink in her face.
Yeah, also, and I mean,
there's so many shitty predatory dudes just like that, just hanging around in the music scene, and they're not like sacrificing girls to Satan, but they are like taking advantage of high school girls, just like these guys.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Also.
Never asked like how old they were, which is
just like
an important question.
I mean, they didn't care. They just wanted someone to murder, but, you know.
You want to murder. I like how she has, like, you guys aren't rapists or something, right? And you go, like, and the guy just goes, I hate girls. I'm like, oh, okay, man. Well,
I love that she looked around the car, saw all the occult stuff, and then her first thought was, are you guys rapists? I wouldn't be worried about that at that point.
You want to go see the Rocky Horror Picture Show? I'm not a fan of boxing movies.
Okay, but to be fair, like, that could be a simple mistake for someone who's not into that kind of scene.
Yeah,
you know, just hearing Rocky.
Yeah, I mean, she wouldn't know. Yeah.
Like, no, I just, I that just really made me laugh. That made me laugh.
I don't know. I think a lot of the characters, like, think Jennifer is so fucking stupid, but I actually think Jennifer's pretty fucking smart, because like when she was talking to Colin before she did like that whole Rocky Horror thing, you know, they're talking about Hamlet and she's like, is he gonna fuck his mom? And Colin just looks like so disturbed, but that's actually like a very astute observation, because scholars still pick apart Hamlet and they're like, I bet he wanted to fuck his mom, like it's there in the subtext. So I'm just like, whatever, Jennifer's smart, like fuck you, Colin. And that's kind of why I didn't care when he died. I was like, you just think she's so stupid.
Yeah,
that's,
I guess Colin was right, like there. A gatekeeper in a way. Kind of like gatekeeping. Yeah. But I just really laughed with that line. The one of Rocky was funny. That was funny. I was like, you know
it
what?
It was funny.
It was pretty funny. Yeah.
But I've had a lot of instances like that where I am like trying to get people to go like see Rocky Horror with me. And a lot of people, like, it was always in Wyoming, people were like, oh, have you seen Rocky Mountain Horror? And I'm like, it's not Rocky Mountain Horror. It's fucking Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, what the fuck? Like, I feel like that's even worse than me. It's a boxing movie.
I completely
forgot. Mountain Oysters.
I completely forgot y'all lived in Wyoming, right, Aiden? I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, that's a thing. I try to forget about that.
Yeah, you lived in Wyoming. Yeah. I remember you showing me a picture. You're like basically like farmland from as far as the eye could see.
Yeah.
I don't know. We didn't live around a farm. We just lived in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
A fucking sagebrush for like miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn it, Aiden. You've definitely lived in the whitest of places before.
It was unbelievably white,
It was so white. It was so sad.
It was so sad. All right, well.
We always had just, like, one, like, black student in our school, and I feel like whenever we lost one, they would just have to, like, get another one for diversity.
Oh. It's like a get-out type of situation over here, really, or what?
Was there.
What?
There was never more than, like, two, was
there? Yeah.
No, I feel like I would have wanted to move out as soon as possible. Like, there were so many, like, little shitty racists in that town.
Unbelievably racist people.
I think that was the case for the town in this movie as well. Like, very small town-ish. And, like, Devil's Creek was the name of the place?
Devil's Kettle. But it's funny because Low Shoulder calls them Devil's Lake throughout the whole fucking movie.
Also, that song was getting so fucking annoying, dude.
I know, but that's the point. But yeah, it's been stuck in my head all day because I rewatched it today. And so I'm just like walking through the grocery store and I'm just like, through the tree.
It just got so fucking annoying, man.
I know. But it really hits like a bunch of the themes of the movie too, you know? Like, that's why it's in there so fucking much.
Oh yeah, I know why it's in there. It's not a legit criticism. I just wanted to say that, what's it called? It's just so fucking annoying.
It's annoying. But that's why they couldn't make it as an indie band, man. They only had one fucking song. Like, of course they had to sacrifice a girl to make it. Like,
God, man, that was funny, man. Yeah, it was just like, y'all don't have anything else? Is that the only song y'all made? You got a record label and you came back to the town. You couldn't bring at least one more fucking song?
Right. I mean, the scene where they're, like, you know, sacrificing her to the devil is just so fucking crazy. Like, the dialogues that they have with each other, you know? Yeah. Like, he's like, oh, do you want to work at a coffee shop all your life? Or do you want to make it big like that guy from Maroon 5? They're like, Maroon 5, man.
I'll kill someone to be like Maroon 5. Fuck it.
I'd kill someone to have the body of Adam Levine.
Maroon 5 isn't even that good.
And then you just feel bad for Jennifer because they're singing while they kill her.
Yeah, they're mocking her pain like the whole time.
Yeah, that's the part I was like, oh man, you guys are fucking assholes. Like, I'm glad that you guys got murked at the end. And that was funny that they keep that for the credits. I was like, oh yeah, that's great, man. I like that.
Me too.
I love that. Okay, looks like we're doing pretty good on time here. So you guys want to go into scoring or you guys have anything else to say? Go watch this movie.
Hold on, let me look. Let me see my notes. Let me see if there's anything we missed.
Yeah, go watch this movie, guys. Rent it, buy it. It's becoming a cult film, and it deserves to be because it's pretty fucking good. And yeah, the soundtrack. It was like I was relieving a lot of my fucking scene kid days, man. I loved it.
I thought the music was pretty good.
Shout out to the four years.
Whatever. You only listen to like wasn't Swedish alternative.
It wasn't Swedish.
Shout out.
Get down.
It wasn't Swedish death metal. Damn it.
Yeah.
Doesn't even go hard. He doesn't listen to death metal. It's like rock.
It was melodic death metal.
So yeah, weird. I only like
it's like alternative. It's not metal.
Well, it was melodic death metal when it was like in 2000, and then it eventually slowly got to like metalcore.
You fuck with that Behemoth? You fuck with Behemoth, Aiden?
No, it was like Soilworker. In Flames or at the
That's gates, what it was called. It was called Soilwork. I was trying to remember what it was.
Dude, they fuck. Their new album actually slapped.
Yeah, whatever. Sure. I was gonna say shout out to the boyfriend of Needy who had a 4 Years Strong poster and a Motion City soundtrack poster.
Who made love to her for 4 whole minutes.
For four whole minutes.
He thought he was
doing
so well too.
I know, I love that scene. No, it's so fucking funny.
My favorite one was like, are you okay? Am I too big?
Yeah, I love the way like that scene too is like juxtaposed with like Jennifer just like totally ripping Colin apart, and then just like the shitty like not super passionate awkward sex, which is it's nice to see that like where how like I don't know her attraction to Chip in that scene, you know, it's like it's very sweet and stuff, but when like she's making out with Jennifer, like she's more aggressive and she even like climbs on top of her, and I'm just like
it's the female gaze at work too.
Nice.
The director the director's a woman, it's different perspective, but yeah, I was like, this is great. I was like,
get it, girl.
I just laughed my ass off. Just, am I too big?
I know. That's so great.
That's how it works.
I have a lot of favorite movies that have something exactly like that, where the girl's just like not really into it, and then they're like, "Am I too big? Oh no!"
Yeah. Or what's it called? It always reminds me of Superman. Oh shit! It's in.
Oh god!
All right.
It reminds me of Secretary, but you guys should see Secretary. I won't go into a whole thing on Secretary, but it's one of my faves. So watch that.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and go into scoring. Unless, Leia, you were looking at your notes.
I mean, the only thing we didn't really talk about was like the BFF necklace.
Oh
which
yeah.
I thought was kind of important because like it's what stops Jennifer from ultimately like eating Needy in the first like half of the movie, like after the concert and throwing up that Boston Market chicken everywhere, like.
Oh, God.
Like she's all like seductively like kind of like kissing Needy's neck, and then she gets to the necklace and like stops and like just kind of like throws her and runs out, you know, and that's when she fucking eats Ahmed. May he rest in peace. But yeah, it's like that like BFF thing like even just like stopped the demon, and it's ultimately what kills Jennifer in the end is when Needy rips that necklace off. Just like she just stops completely fighting and just kind of just fucking falls down and lets Needy stab her in the heart. And I'm just like, damn, I felt that.
Let me see. Has Kusama done anything as of late? If we can promote that, guys.
I don't know, actually.
Oh, she was the director of Destroyer, The movie with Nicole Kidman. Hell yeah. I still need to see that. That looked so fucking good, man. Yeah, that was a recent movie that she made.
Nice.
Brad, remember the trailer for that? Brad.
What?
Remember the trailer for that one?
Which one?
Destroyer with Nicole Kidman, where Nicole Kidman basically looks like unrecognizable.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. She directed that.
Who directed that?
The director of this movie, Karen Kusama.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I gotta watch that, man. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll go put that down on my watch list. I gotta watch that, and it also looks like it's one of the last films from Annapurna. So, because that studio is closing down shop. Yeah, sadly, and it's like the film division's closing down shop. They're still making video games, I think. But yeah. All right, let's go ahead and move on to scoring. Leia, you're the first one.
Oh, 9 out of 10.
All right, cool. Aiden.
A 6.5.
6.5, nice. Bradley.
No, I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Cool. 4 out of 10. Nah, I'm playing around. What's the I'll go ahead and go one up from Aiden. 7 out of 10. It's a 3.5 on nice. It's a 3.5 on my letterbox.
Nice.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm so sorry for saying that that Annapurna was closing down shop. They're not. They actually have a movie coming out in 2020. I forgot which company it was that was closing down shop. I can't remember which is the one that's closing down shop.
That's okay. You weren't here when he said Francis Ford Coppola was dead.
Let's go ahead and move on from that part, Brett. I pronounce a lot of directors dead on this podcast.
Quite a few.
Yeah, which is the one actor I keep forgetting if he's still alive or not. There's like one certain actor I keep on asking, like, wait, is he still alive? And he still seems to be alive. But
hopefully it wasn't Robert Forster, because he is not alive anymore.
Well, no, he's not. Okay, rest in peace. All right, man, that's been our review of Jennifer's Body. It's been a really fun time with our guests in here. Next week, we do Ari Aster's directorial debut, Hereditary, and we do The Conjuring for the wonderful Patreon supporters, and I believe this weekend, will Leia and Aiden be available?
Yes.
Probably. I don't know.
Saturday, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I really don't.
Well, Aiden, if you're available, Wolf Creek Review on the live show this weekend.
Fuck.
Okay. Yeah, we agreed to this, okay?
I didn't agree to this.
Well, you're in this month, and this is what happens, okay?
I hate myself.
Yeah, I know you hate yourself. I hate myself, too. All right, so Leia and Aiden, I can't wait to see you guys on the live show this weekend. But without further ado, let's do some... son of a bitch, where's my paper? Oh, it's over here.
Housekeeping.
All right. Patreon.com/TheNerdCore to go and directly support us. If you really want to help us, help us get to where we need to get in this phase and just do all the cool stuff that we want to plan to do and hopefully get Brad a better microphone than, go help us out with that. But today is the days that I actually appreciate Brad's microphone because the dog didn't bark at once throughout this whole podcast. So I appreciate it, but I know that microphone's got to go. It's got to go. But, you guys can go help us on patreon.com/nerdcore and help us do that. Associate producers, Cassie and Sarah, you're the best. You're the best. But the executive producers, you can follow them on Twitter, GraysonBarker98 on Instagram, or Hitman98 on Twitter. I'm sorry, I got that mixed up. Grayson is the first executive producer we've ever had, and probably for a year already. Shane is our second one. Shane, you can follow him at where, Bradley?
You follow our friend Shane at twitch.tv/SWRWK. Or on his Twitter at SWRWK Twitch.
All right, cool. What's it called? Merchandise. You can go get a merchandise like, a sticker of this show. Or you can get Brad's face on a hoodie or the Two Latin Lovers t-shirt, which is the shirt of the Nerdy Chicano show, the only show hosted by two Latin lovers, me and Luis. Yes, we're Latin lovers. You can go and check that out. www.teespring.com/store/TheNerdCore. Rate and review the podcast on your podcast app of choice. It really does help the feed grow. Go and check us out on Twitter, @TheNerdCore_, Instagram @TheNerdCore, Facebook group, The Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group. You guys should at Twitter and tell them to delete the other Nerdcore account so we can finally get that one. Because I want to just say Nerdcore on Twitter and Instagram, but you know, we have to resort to the underscore because an account that hasn't been used since 2013 still won't be deleted. It sucks.
Just report it until they delete it.
I wish that would help.
Hack them and then delete it and then steal it.
Yeah. I'll talk to the person who hacked my old Twitter account and see if they can make them do that.
There you go.
Make it happen.
Throwback
do
to when
Mr.
my
Mr. Robot and hack it.
Hack it.
Hacker man. All right. Check out the website, thenerdcore.com. Check out the website, nerdcore.com, for all the written stuff and all that goodness. Check out the YouTube channel. The live show is up. We have a lot of cool stuff up on there. And there's a Bad CGI Sharks review coming soon. I have my camera and everything set up. I just got to review it. And I'll do that during the week. But with that being said, you guys... where can they find you guys on the internet?
In Twitter at... A Burns 152. Fuck, I forgot what my handle was. And then Instagram is Aiden.Burns.
Dude, you really fucked up that one.
I really did.
How do you get work?
Not on Twitter, I guess.
Leia, you got my favorite handle out of all these three. So go and say where they can find you.
Me?
Yes.
Yes.
What? Sorry. Yes, I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Lumpy Space Bitch, and the I is a one.
Yes, the one. All right.
Yeah.
The claw.
8 hours later.
Alright, let's go.
I legit have no idea what's going on, guys.
Alright, let's go ahead and say goodbye here, Brad. But without further ado, it has been a wonderful time. It has been the NerdyCon. I'm signing off. Bradley, send him into the podcast void.
Ryro, thank you for being host as always. Thank you to Leia Aiden for coming back on. I know every time it just gets more and more difficult. We're not the easiest people to talk with on a weekly basis. So we appreciate it. Anyways, thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We appreciate each and every one of you. And in the next episode, hopefully more Megan Fox. Young Yoda out.
Yeah.
I'm dead inside.